Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the Colts Cover 2 podcast. I'm Joel A. Erickson. I'm joined as always by Nate Atkins. This time we are not walking briskly out of Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
So it's a little easier to do.
Yeah, we are seated. It's midweek. I hope you guys all had a Merry Christmas if you celebrate the holiday. If not, I hope you're having a happy holiday season. The Colts have a game against the Raiders that is suddenly... We've been talking about this game the wrong way. And I don't think we realized it until the Raiders beat the Chiefs on Sunday. Because we've kind of been talking about it in like a, well, they've got the Raiders game as like that's the easiest game of this finishing stretch. The Raiders defense, there's a lot of reasons to be concerned about the Raiders defense.
Yeah. I mean, look at the fact that they just went into Kansas City, shut down Patrick Mahomes, and the Chiefs have offensive problems right now, no question. But still, to do that at Arrowhead is something. And then the fact that they scored two defensive touchdowns, so their defense scored as much as the Chiefs' offense did. And I know you've got some of the stats on the Raiders, but yeah, their defense is just been completely different under Antonio Pierce. And it's one of those groups that it's interesting to look at on paper because ever since, you know, they lost Chandler Jones, you would think that they don't have a lot of names that are jumping out, but they just kind of all flow from what Max Crosby does. Right now he is playing at a level that's it's really kind of like him, Myles Garrett, TJ Watt. It's that kind of group right now of just those edge rushers who just take things over. And so the Colts have had problems with elite edge rushers. I know they handled TJ Watt, which I think was both a great game plan from Shane Steichen to run the ball and limit his opportunities. Also, I think it was a little rusty coming out of the concussion protocol. But other than that, those edge rushers, whether it's Myles Garrett or Trey Hendrickson or last week Calais Campbell, have really messed some stuff up for the Colts. So Max Crosby is the latest one, and I just think between that matchup and the way the Raiders are playing on defense, this is a tough game for the Colts even before we get into figuring out if Michael Pittman Jr. is going to be back.
Yeah, let's go through some of the numbers on this Raiders defense. I believe they're number one in the NFL in EPA per play since week eight. They've allowed five touchdowns in their last 37 drives they've faced. And beyond, you know, they scored twice in like 2 seconds against the Chiefs. Like, since Antonio Pierce took over as the head coach, the Raiders are first in points per game allowed, first in defensive touchdowns, fourth in sacks per game, tied for sixth in takeaways per game. Their yards per carry and yards per play are kind of at the edge of the top 10. Like, this is a defense that Colts fans should be worried about. The Raiders, you should be very, very worried about them.
Very worried about them. It's interesting that they've had just such a dramatic shift because that's also aligns with right after they lost Chandler Jones. And, you know, what they did was they fired a head coach who was the guy running the offensive side of the ball, but it's the defense that's taken over. And Antonio Pierce, you know, certainly is a defensive guy. That's obviously got an impact on it. Patrick Graham, their defensive coordinator, who's, you know, it didn't work out well when he was with McDaniels, but before he got there, when he was with the Giants, he was one of those, like, you know, hot head coaching candidates. So they just seem to have gotten everything together. And again, I just think Max Crosby is sort of powering that unit right now, where you have just such this. What's so key with him is how unblockable he is in both the pass and run games. And so it kind of works hand in hand where he sets up his own pass rushing opportunities, and that balance makes him harder to take away than, like, you know, just running at TJ Watt to kind of get him out of his strengths. Max Crosby is just more balanced game, and that just a couple of matchups I'm very worried about for the Colts. It's it based again, we're taping this on Wednesday, so we got to get to Friday and see who's in and who's out. But based on where they're at right now, they if they don't have Braden Smith back, you know, that is the biggest concern. And then, like I said, if they don't have Michael Pittman Jr. back, that's sort of, to me, their easiest way to get out of what some teams have done to them, whether it's the five-man front or just loads of pressure. Some of these quick, short depth of target passes to Michael Pittman Jr., who has 8 catches in 10 different games. They, you know, what we saw last week, which was a little different, they prepared to have him all week and then found out late they weren't going to have him. But pretty much the last 2 years, we've seen 2 starts without Michael Pittman Jr., and they've had no passing game. So I think the combination of those injuries right now should have you – a little concerned on that side of the ball.
Up until about 5 weeks ago, the way to play against the Raiders was to run the ball. They had a lot of high efficiency games given up. But over the last 5 games for them, which is Miami, Kansas City, Minnesota, the Chargers, and then Kansas City again, these are the yards per carry: 3.5, 3, 4.4, 3.3, 3.4. So all of a sudden, even the run defense is not necessarily what the overall numbers look like, and that's a big problem against a Colts run game that it's been up and down this season. You mentioned the Crosby Blake Freeland matchup. If Braden Smith can't go, that's bad in the pass game. It's also bad in the run game. There were a significant amount of runs, I thought, on Sunday where that you watched it and Taylor wanted to maybe bounce to the right and he couldn't because Freeland really struggled in the run game too. So Crosby is a huge deal both in the pass and the run game.
Yeah, that was a big thing I was asking around about after the game, was just it felt like they never got Jonathan Taylor on the edge at all. And it was just – I know drove a lot of fans crazy that it looked like they kept running up the middle. I don't think that was always their intent. It's just like those edges were so messed up between Blake Freeland's struggles and between the fact that Calais Campbell is a guy that – pretty much demands, he changes the math there on the edge where he demands basically a double team. And so when you run that 5-man front, that's really kind of like a 6-man front with him down there. So, you know, Max Crosby's a little different. He's not quite the massive frame that Calais Campbell is, but he still is vicious enough against the run. Certainly one-on-one, it's not where you want to live. So they're going to have to give Blake Freeland some tight end help there. And that's another part of this that's, I think, been interesting, is that the Colts for a stretch here this season had, like, when I think part of why their run game has dropped off over the past month, one factor I think has been Drew Ogletree's health. You know, he had plantar fasciitis and then, missed a couple weeks, came back, and they've been limiting his snaps since he came back. It just doesn't seem like he's fully in the flow there. And without that, they don't have – you know, Mo Alie-Cox kind of operates as a sixth lineman, but they don't really have that move tight end who can kind of kick out guys and help Jonathan Taylor get to the perimeter. So it's been hard. They've got to find some way to get Taylor going and to the perimeter. And the best way, I feel like we've had this conversation so many times, but at some point you've just got to be able to find ways to throw teams out of that 5-man front. And you know, that's where Michael Pittman Jr. matters a lot, because there just isn't, so far, just does not look like there's an outside wide receiver on this team that you can put in that role and just sort of bake in production regardless of what the defense is doing. And so we'll see. We'll see if he can bounce back and get out of concussion protocol after he had symptoms flare back up last Saturday. We'll get to Friday and see where he's at. But, suddenly it just feels like Shane Steichen's done such a great job managing this offense and the personnel losses they've had all season. I feel like the past 3 weeks or so, some of those injuries have really, really caught up to them. And we'll see how much gas they have left, because they're going to need it to be able to score on the Raiders.
The flip side of it is that the Raiders offense does not necessarily scare you in the same way the Falcons did. Although I will say this, the Raiders do have good talent at the skill positions like the Falcons do, but you know, this is also a Raiders team that I don't know, the more I talk about it, the thinking about the skill position players. Now I'm concerned basically because of what we saw against Atlanta. But they really haven't done a ton on offense lately. They have run it pretty well the last 2 weeks. Really three of the last four, they've been at 4.8 yards per carry or above. I think if they get to the edge, and they don't run it at Grover and Buck, kind of like the Falcons did, they can get themselves in some advantageous situations there. You know, the passing game with Aiden O'Connell, they've got Davante Adams. Generally, though, it has not been a great passing game with Aiden O'Connell as a quarterback.
No, and it's – you look at the names in their passing game. You've got him and you've got Davante Adams and you've got Hunter Renfro and Jacoby Myers. So it's like – and then Michael Mayer when he's healthy at tight end. So, like, I guess it is a little bit like the Falcons that you're sitting here thinking they have the skill players. Can they figure out enough at quarterback? And Taylor Heinicke stepped in last week and did more than enough. Aiden O'Connell, yeah, I don't know. I don't know that there's – you can expect him to transform into a whole lot more right now.
They had 48 total passing yards against the Chiefs. Now, I will say this. The Chiefs' defense has been much better this season than the Colts has, especially in the secondary.
Yeah, it was just interesting to see the Raiders really turn it on the ground without Josh Jacobs in that game because they got the ball back up 20-14 and, you know, Arrowhead's rocking and the Chiefs are – they're trying to get the ball back, and the Raiders just ran hog wild on them. And again, that was with Zamir White, not even Josh Jacobs. So it's like maybe they've unlocked a little something in their run game. If they have, that's going to be a big difference here. That's going to stress a Colts defense that it's weird because we knew why they were struggling against the run when Grover Stewart was out. Grover Stewart came back in, and you felt that lift. And yet last week it was so bad.
Well, and he made plays. I think that was the other thing about Sunday was that, that Stewart did make a few plays that we're used to seeing from him against the Falcons, and they were still able to get – they were still able to really be effective in the rushing game, even dealing with some of the Grover Stewart of it all.
Yeah, it's a few other things that are catching up to him, I guess. It's Zaire Franklin I don't think is playing his best right now. Kind of ever since he left with the knee injury and missed the game against the Panthers, when he's been in space, it just has not quite been what we were used to earlier in the season. And, you know, they just lost Julian Blackman for the season. Nick Cross is in there now. And Nick, you know, I thought they should have played him a lot earlier. So he's got a ton of talent, super explosive athlete. But there is something to be learned or developed in the run fits, especially they really look at that strong safety position as a pretty key run defense communicator and just run defender, guy who fits in a lot of these places. So that's a factor to it. I don't know. It's just as simple as they just didn't tackle at all on Sunday. And if you're going to do that against Josh Jacobs, you're going to get run over. So, yeah, you like to think it's just a really terrible performance by them that they'll flush, but they better because that would be the route that would lose this game. Is if you tackle poorly and you give up some gashing runs to Josh Jacobs, that may be all the Raiders need with what their defense can do.
Yeah, you're just not really expecting the Raiders backs to have the same sort of side to side, you know, devastating like suddenness that Bijan Robinson has. But Tyler Algier had a pretty good game on Sunday too, and he doesn't have any of that. So you expect them to try to, you know, do some of that stuff. Gus Bradley was saying that they've got to do better against running backs in general. I would assume that that's true again. If you're the Raiders, like, you want to get the ball to Davante Adams, but you can also just flip it out to the running backs and see if the Colts can cover it. I don't know. This is a game with the Raiders. The Raiders are 7-8 now. Is that correct?
Yep.
This is a game that we'd looked at with Aiden O'Connell being the starter as like one you should absolutely win. It just doesn't feel like that anymore. And maybe that's part of acknowledging, you know, that as surprising as it is that the Colts are 8-7, they're still eighth in the league in scoring. Does that surprise you? Surprise me a little bit.
Does.
That it hasn't gone down. I mean, the points per game have gone down some. They were at 25-ish a couple weeks ago, I remember, and now they're at 23.6. But they're still in the top 10 in the NFL in points per game. That's with the Cincinnati performance, with the Carolina and New England performances, with last week's performance. They're still eighth in the league in scoring. But there is also an element of just looking at this team that they're just as good as it was that they got to 8-6. Like, this is still a team that's on its backup quarterback. Hasn't had Jonathan Taylor for 7 games this season, 4 at the beginning and 3, and then, you know, somewhat hampered in games coming off of those injuries. Never had the tight end they thought they were going to have. Braden Smith has missed 8 games, 7 games now. Like,
8 games.
They're not on plan A. And it's surprising that they're in this position more so than it is. Like, how could this possibly happen to them? They're very, very young in the secondary. We should talk about Julian Blackmon here for a second. We'll do that. We'll get there in a second. But, like, this is a team that has very obvious flaws. And it was surprising that they were at 8-6. It's surprising that they're at 8-7 and still in the playoff mix, given what they've dealt with.
I think if you look at the way their seasons flowed, it's like they've managed to have this go in a certain way where, like, the regression hits all in one game, basically. So against the Bengals, they got blown out. Against the Falcons, they got blown out. Against the Jaguars on the road there, they got blown out. And it's like some of the other games, they even when they struggle, they just pull out just enough to be in it or win it. I think about, like, the Titans game was looking bad at the start. They came back, you know, they got to overtime. They win it in overtime. They were able to hold on for dear life against the Patriots. I'm thinking about – I mean, they had a great performance against the Steelers. But for the most part, it's like we've seen the – like, when you talk about this team being 8-7, we've seen the moments of just pure regression of all of our concerns coming out. They just seem to happen all kind of in one moment, which is good in a way, is that you just kind of get it out in one loss rather than let it string out into a few different ones. But it is weird to think about this team, about, you know, they're 8-7, but they, you know, they seem like they're capable of winning any, just a, you know, a lot of these games. They also seem capable of getting blown out by a lot of these games, a lot of these teams. Like, if you think about it, coming into last week, I would have for sure said that the – how should I say this? I would have first – back in the past couple of weeks, I would have said the Falcons are a better team than the Raiders. I think they're kind of even right now in different ways. I mean, two very, very good defenses, two backup quarterbacks. I guess they're kind of similar in the sense that they have really good skill players, and your challenge is, can you keep them from getting the ball and killing you? But yeah, it's like they're both of those teams are like the type of, they're not great teams, but they're capable enough to beat you if your flaws show up. And so that's kind of been the story of this Colts team, is how long can they cover their flaws for? And the good thing for them is they found ways to bounce back, but it also is hard to keep that going when the Colts have ripped off a win streak, like they won 4 in a row, but included games over the Patriots and Panthers, which are, like, you know,
the dregs of the NFL.
So it's like they're doing enough in what their schedule is to be in contention, but they're absolutely a team that, like, I don't know. It was weird to me to even hear them talk about how they thought they lacked focus and energy this past week. Like, this team can't roll over against anybody and win right now. They're not that talented. That's really the issue, is in terms of the guys who are healthy and out there playing, this team is not, you know, they're playing, they've played over their heads to get to 8-7. So they've got to be on the details when these games matter, when these games are, you know, like the Raiders are a team that's, I guess, they're in the hunt. Could they make it if they win 2 more? Probably comes down to some tiebreaker stuff.
They can still technically win their division.
Oh, that's right. Chiefs would have to lose 2.
Yes.
But, yeah, they're at least going to play in the mindset of, like, they've got something going. And I think that's what they took into Kansas City. And I think that's
Well, they're also playing for their coach. Like, that's the thing is, like, there's also the Antonio Pierce factor. I think the – I mean, that's a pretty strong storyline coming out of Las Vegas. I think the Raiders, playoffs or not, they're playing to try to keep Antonio Pierce there.
Yeah, that – no, there's something to be said for that. This is a Raiders team that just a few years ago, back in 2021, had an interim coach that everyone wrote them off. They made the playoffs by turning that season around and actually beating the Colts in the second-to-last game of the season in Lucas Oil Stadium. So they can come here and do it. It's a very different-looking team because it doesn't – that was all about Derek Carr kind of making things happen. And it was, you know, pre-Devontae Adams and, you know, they were – you thought of them more of an offensive team. This is a truly defensive team that's got a couple of star offensive players. But in that way, the more I talk through it, I actually think they're kind of – they have a similar makeup to their team as the Falcons, who actually, like, when I looked at them, realized how much better their defense was than maybe I had realized. And then we saw on Sunday, their defense, yeah, it can give you some problems, especially when you cannot block them up front. It just messes a lot of stuff up. This is a somewhat similar situation where if you cannot, if they don't have a plan for Max Crosby, I don't know how they really win this game easily outside of, you know, outside of doing some things on special teams. And maybe this is the game where they do that. But they've got to – it's like Pittsburgh game to me again, which is – it all comes down to, like, can they find a good enough plan against the superstar edge rusher knowing that they're just not built to win that or even break even in that matchup, that something's got to give there. And in that game, the Colts did it great. They were able to get the lead, turn the heat on to Mitch Trubisky and just run downhill and run at will on the Steelers. But game script is very, very critical to that. When you're trying to come back on those edge rushers like they have been against the Browns and Bengals and Falcons, that's when you let those guys pin their ears back, and that those have been the moments when those guys have wrecked the game.
A couple of other things to keep in mind, just in terms of some of the stats that people look at. The Colts, they're 8-7. I think they've surprised everybody. But they're 20th in DVOA. They're 19th in terms of point differential. Some of what they've had to play through is encased in those stats. And the fact that they're playing a backup quarterback, Gardner Minshew, is not – none of his numbers outside of the wins and losses put him, you know, in the top 20 quarterbacks in the league, you know. And so that's part of this, is this is a team that has been winning despite having flaws. And the question with these last two games is, can they overcome those flaws enough to get in the playoffs? To me.
Yeah. I feel like it's a weird team in that way, because we've discussed that for pretty much ever since Anthony Richardson went down. And that's sort of like when the injuries with Braden Smith started. They've kind of been in and out with Jonathan Taylor all year. So they've had, and then the quarterback situation's been this way pretty much all year. So it's like some weeks they find the answers and some weeks they can't. And so sometimes I think the matchup is set. So I think about it this way. Three of the games that stand out to me that the Colts have lost were the Falcons, Bengals, and Saints. What all those teams had in common was they came in either like right around 500-ish. And so we weren't really sure how good they were. But all three of them had these dominant skill players. And it was like, can that team find a good enough plan to get the ball to the skill players, and can they just expose the Colts in that way? And all three of those teams did it. Now, there is another team like that the Colts found the answer against, which is the Buccaneers. So they can do it. It's not just this easy recipe to ride. But I do think that the more I see matchups like that, and I guess you could throw the Steelers in there. I don't think quite – they kind of have George Pickens and not a whole lot else.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd put the Steelers.
So maybe not as much. I think when I see teams on paper that have like multiple skill guys who can kill you, that's sort of the matchup that I get worried about for the Colts, because it just stresses too much on the back end of their defense. It basically is begging for the pass rush to make up for it, which has been the story of their season. But what it takes is teams are using their aggressiveness against them with screens and tempo. They're finding ways to get around that pass rush enough with the way the Colts are trying to play their DBs, where they're playing so far off the ball. There's so much space in there. Like, they're right now, there's just ways to get around the Colts on defense. And it's more about, do you have the skill players? Do you have the offensive plan to do it or not?
and the quarterback that can execute it. Let's talk about Julian Blackmon. Julian Blackmon is a big loss. I think bigger than a lot of Colts fans realize. I think I would make the argument that he has been the best player in the Colts and the most important player in the Colts secondary this season. Now, some of the traditional counting numbers back that up. He leads the team in both interceptions and pass breakups. I think it goes beyond that, though. It goes beyond that in all of the different ways they use him. You know, he's a strong safety that played nickel last year, so they can kind of use him on the backside in spread stuff, in coverage against players that aren't that in the slot, since Kenny Moore is already occupied on the other side. He's the one safety so far who's like driven down on the ball consistently over the middle of the field. They've had tons of trouble in the middle of the field lately. He's been good. He's been a fairly sure tackler and run support. You get the playmaking. Like, Julian Blackmon is a big loss for this team. Now you go into this game against the Raiders, your starting corners are both rookies, and your two starting outside corners are both rookies, and then your two safeties are guys who are second-year players. And Rodney Thomas is kind of he's regressed a little bit. And then Nick Cross is essentially making, you know, he's been playing a lot more lately, but he's really only played something like 400-ish snaps in the NFL defensively. This is a very inexperienced secondary for the last two games of the season. And they just lost somebody who – Julian Blackmon is a big loss. And it really puts – there's been pressure on the pass rush all season. Pass rush has kind of had to carry them all season. But the pressure is even more so now because they're not very – like, and you start thinking about like going up against a guy like Adams, who's known as one of the great elite technicians of our time in the NFL, and that lack of experience gets really, really nerve-wracking.
Yeah, and I think Julian Blackman's he's always been, you know, a very vocal player. That's part of why they thought he would be a good fit in a strong safety role that's very, very big on communication. And that hurt them when he had to leave against the Falcons, because they had sort of the way they described it as a more complex game plan. And then he's out, and not only that, but the Falcons are running tempo, and it just sort of took them out of everything they wanted to do. So, I mean, one thing that's going to help is being back at home is sort of going to give some of that confidence and energy from the crowd to the defense and make it harder on an offense to communicate. But also the Colts are the ones who have to really, really communicate well on defense. It's just hard when you got young players. It's crazy to think that Rodney Thomas is the second oldest starting DB that they have, and he's in his second season.
You told me this earlier, and it felt like you were wrong.
I told it to Rodney Thomas, and he was absolutely baffled that was the case. But it's Kenny Moore, and then it's Rodney Thomas. And then you've got two rookies, and you've got Nick Cross, who's only 22 years old. So, yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's, you know, Nick Cross – Julian's a big loss.
I guess technically Henry Black, who they just signed off of the practice squad, would be older.
Is he older than
Rodney Thomas? Henry Black's been in the NFL for a little while.
Yeah, starting DBs.
But guys, if you just want to put it on guys who will play.
Yeah.
Because Henry Black's probably not going to play defense unless something terrible happens injury-wise. Like, yeah, second oldest.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, Julian's been – he's been a great fit at strong safety. You know, the bright side to it is that if you're going to have another player go down, I mean, this is an opportunity for Nick Cross to get on the field, as we've called for. He has made some impressive plays, like the interception he had against Pittsburgh. He had a great third down stop coming from depth against the Buccaneers. So strong safety is the position. He's cross-trained at three of them. That's the one he knows the most. That's kind of the one – that was the one he started at last season. So – There's certainly worse backups you could bring in, but it just goes back to another young player who is in situations he hasn't been in, dealing with things like what Davante Adams does to young defenders who are trying to figure this out on the fly. So, yeah, we say this all the time, but it again comes down to, like, can the pass rush find a way to lift these guys up for another game? Because that has been the weakness of, outside of quarterback, the Raiders offensive line is not it's struggled in pass protection and run blocking for a lot of the season. It's just that's got to be the matchup where the Colts take advantage of it, and that's where, again, they've got to just not be exposed too much in their attack scheme. Like, some of those screen passes came back this past week, the ones that were there against the Bengals and that they fixed against the Steelers. And then, so it's like this kind of back and forth where can teams hurt them enough for their aggressive play on the front end. But it's like there's been so many injuries on this team that still the one area we're talking about that's been really healthy is the pass rush. And they just set the record for sacks in Indianapolis history. They've got to step it back up because they only had one sack against the Falcons for 0 yards. And I feel like any time the stat book looks like that, they're not going to win.
The communication piece is big too. This, like, that's a big reason why Rodney McLeod took over initially last year from Nick Cross. Nick Cross obviously started his first couple games as a rookie. The strong safety makes all the calls and checks for this defense. And so that communication piece is another enormous part. Now, the secondary has been vulnerable all season. The concern I have is that it gets even more vulnerable with Julian Blackman out, just as in terms of consistency, the way he's played this year. The pass rush, the hard thing with the pass rush is the Raiders are going to know that they're going to tell Aiden O'Connell, I guarantee they're telling Aiden O'Connell all week, don't keep the ball in your hands very long. We're going to run a bunch of play action. We're going to slide stuff. We're going to move you. We're going to do whatever we can to get that. When the good news is O'Connell is not like Taylor Heinicke is not a great quarterback, but he's been a veteran enough to that when the Falcons give him the game plan, he said this point blank in the Falcons locker room after the game on Sunday. The emphasis all week for them was get the ball out of your hands quickly. And if you need to drop back further, we're going to do play action. We're going to do something to help take a little bit of teeth out of the pass rush. When the Colts have played quarterbacks who aren't disciplined or experienced enough to follow that game plan, they've been able to get sacks. Aiden O'Connell being a rookie, maybe that helps. But in general, teams know what to do against the Colts pass rush. The question is, you know, can the quarterback execute it? And that's what we don't know about Aiden O'Connell. They're coming off a game where they had 48 total passing yards against the Chiefs.
Yeah, and it's one of those where, like, I thought the return of Juju Brents on paper would help with some of this, and it can. It just Sunday was his first game in his first game back, right? He played against the Steelers.
Juju?
Yeah.
Second game back.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't notice mistakes against the Steelers, but this week it didn't. He struggled in that game against the Falcons in some of the ways that you thought that he would help them out, which is the physicality, the ability to tackle on the perimeter. That's some stuff that I think some of the rust of so much time off has caught up to him a little bit. But if he can get back to doing that, that's one of the ways where, you know, you lose Julian Blackman, but you add your most talented outside cornerback recently back into the mix. You know, that's got to be one of the areas that they could that they can compensate for it. But there's just like certain guys on this defense are capable talent wise of playing better than they've played recently. He's one of them, and Zaire Franklin's another one. They're just going to have to do more. I mean, they're just going to have to. It is set up to be a defensive game because of, you know, the skill sets of what they have at quarterback, and we'll see. Again, Michael Pittman Jr.'s availability, I think, is a big part of this. But as of right now, I think at best if they get him back, it's sort of a, you know, he hasn't practiced with them for a couple weeks. So it's going to be a little harder against this Raiders team to move the ball. The defense has really got to be stout. And that's – when you think back on the last two losses, the Bengals and Steelers, that's been – or Bengals and Falcons – the number of explosive plays they've given up for a defense that is pretty openly admitting that they're designed to not give up explosive plays, that to me has gotten concerning, especially when the conversation's changed now with Julian hurt, but they'd gotten pretty healthy on that side of the ball for a stretch there. Once they got Grover back from suspension, you know, they've had Juju back for two games. Now Julian is hurt, but for the most part, it's not like they're just losing all the guys that can make this happen. It's just some of the guys that they have who have played better or have shown more talent. They just haven't all been there over the past month.
Yeah, and they're in a position now where they kind of have to win. There's too many teams in the AFC bunched up here. They still have a chance at the division. The Jaguars keep losing. Trevor Lawrence keeps getting different body parts hurt. They play the Panthers and the Titans here at the end. They still have a chance at the division. They still have a chance at the playoffs. But they're going to have to win. They have to win, and they definitely have to have this Raiders game, I think, to set up what looks like it kind of looks like we're headed for some form of do or die against the Texans in the final week of the season. It'll be an interesting game to see if they bounce back against the Raiders. For the Colts Cover 2 podcast, I'm Joel A. Erickson. This has been Nate Atkins. We'll be back on Sunday night, New Year's Eve, with another pod after whatever happens against the Raiders. And I think one of the other things is, it feels like we know what's going to happen based on the Atlanta game, but that is not how the NFL works.
Nope, sure isn't.
Not at all. So that's it. That's it for the Colts Cover 2 podcast for midweek. Like I said, we'll see how the Colts play against the Raiders and then adjust our outlook on the final week accordingly.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.